All right, we've left this young lady waiting enough. Get to a Flotesh, you're a first lady of the Eugene sports scene, and incidentally, the single greatest jazz recording artist we've ever had on the show. Catch up to what she's doing. KEZI Sports Channel 709 on your Xfinity online, KEZI.com on Twitter. Her handle at Kristen E. Rogers. KR, a wonderful Friday to you. How's it going?
Happy Friday, Steve. It's going pretty great.
So let's start with the misery last night at Pauly, which somehow Alex and I are now getting blamed for. 19-point lead the first half, up 15 with 14 minutes to go. They score 15 points those last 14 minutes. With the way Oregon has closed games, is the shocking part that they played so badly down the stretch in such a big game?
Kind of. I mean, let's be honest. We knew that this was going to be a track meet. UCLA loves throwing the ball up and down the court. They don't play any defense. They're all about offense. We knew what the game was going to be. And Oregon said that they were ready for that kind. They were ready to keep up with the Bruins in that kind of track meet environment. But really, it was just Oregon flipped at the end. I mean, they looked tired. And, you know, hearing from some of the stuff that Dana said after the game on Twitter, it sounds like, you know, he and the players both admitted that the Ducks just got tired at the end, and they, you know, started to not play as much defense as they did, and that's how UCLA got back in, because the defense, you know, slipped, and UCLA went on a couple runs right there to bring it back and, you know, obviously take the lead. And it's tough for Oregon, because obviously now they're a game behind Arizona in the Pac-12 race, and they need Arizona to beat UCLA. No, they need, excuse me, UCLA to beat Arizona at Arizona. So not the greatest to have their destiny be in someone else's hands, but Oregon obviously just trying to look for that bounce back win tomorrow.
Yeah, and speaking of, USC destroyed OSU last night. And, of course, the Beavs right now are a horror show. But, you know, there was a lot on the line. A number one seed in the Big Dance was there. And because they've not really done well on the road, do we even jack up the magnitude of Oregon against USC to convince folks they could actually beat a quality team outside of Eugene?
Hey, look, I think Oregon can beat a quality team on the road. I mean, defense travels. That's the thing that Dana Altman always talks about, is your defense can travel. Unfortunately, it just didn't travel in that environment going up against Pauly. I mean, what we saw in that first half when Oregon went up by 19, that's the exact same kind of play we saw when they took on Arizona and beat Arizona, as you just said, by 109 points last weekend. So, I mean, Oregon obviously shows that they can have that kind of play outside of Matt Knight Arena. They just weren't able to sustain it for two full halves. I think that's going to be big going up against USC and trying to have that same, you know, kind of mentality. I know for a fact that Dana Altman is going to get in their ear and say, look, before we focus on shooting the ball right now, let's work on the defense. Like, that's going to be his number one message to this team, because that's how they win games. You know, Oregon is a great defensive efficiency team, and that's something they need to focus on moving forward, and that's how you get wins on the road. And, you know, they still have a trip to the Bay Area. You know, they have a really, really tough schedule to end the season, but they need that USC win tomorrow on the road to give them a little confidence that they can pick up a win on the road.
We're talking with Kristen Rogers, KEZI. We had Kelly Graves on Wednesday, and of course they've got a big weekend here in town. On the KEZI site, you had a chat with Ruthie Hebert, another of those magnificent freshmen. So what did she have to say about being in the tournament picture still and facing a really good UCLA team?
Yeah, you know, I kind of just want to take a broader look at this for a second, because Oregon is in the tournament picture. And, you know, I remember last year before, you know, Jillian Aleen tore her ACL and went out, and that was probably the most heartbreaking thing, even if you weren't an Oregon fan, because Oregon was so close. And I think this year, again, with all their young talent, they are so close. And, you know, UCLA coming to town, this is big for the Ducks. I mean, this is a chance for, you know, obviously they had some great wins on the road when, you know, they took on Cal and maybe Cal on the road and things like that. But this is here at home. And this is a chance for Oregon to get that kind of, I'm not going to say a signature win, they get a big win this weekend and really bolster up their NCAA tournament resume, because, you know, this could be the year that they finally end that streak.
Yeah, and it's tonight and Sunday for folks who want to get out and support them. Let's get to the football team. the coaching change this week. David Reeves went from being fired to resigning. And the guy in the car with him, Jimmy Doherty, left for UCLA. First of all, how weird of a situation is this? And what have we learned about the supposed new guy, Marcus Arroyo?
Yeah, you know, I'm getting tired. I'm not going to lie. It's so many coaches. I just want it to be spring ball and just have someone hand me a list that here are the Oregon coaches and move on. But yeah, obviously, you know, it's kind of a rotating staff right now. But Marcus Arroyo coming in as a pass game coordinator / offensive coordinator / quarterbacks coach, it looks like, for the Ducks. Again, these are, you know, reports that have surfaced. And, you know, he has a pretty great background. He was a quarterback at San Jose State for a few years. He spent the last 2 years as a running backs coach at Oklahoma State. And he does have Pac-12 connections. He coached at Cal back in the, 2012, I think. So he has a background in Pac-12. He has a background as a great offensive guy, which I think is good for Oregon. However, there are still positions that need to be filled. I mean, we all thought that Willie Taggart was going to take over the quarterback's role. Obviously, now that's probably going to go to Marcus Arroyo. Oregon still needs a tight ends coach, and Oregon still needs a wide receivers coach. So, like I said, I am just waiting for a list to be handed to me, hopefully, by Dave Williford, the FD of Oregon, just saying, here's a list of the coaches. Go at it, because there's still a lot of holes to be filled before spring ball starts.
Well, you better be careful they don't hand you a list of responsibilities as one of the coaches.
We'll see about that.
All right. You know, we've talked about Tiger before, and I get you come from the lefty side in this debate. But, you know, he was supposed to play an ambitious comeback schedule, obviously, to prep for the Masters. Had to withdraw. Then he had to sit out this week. And just kind of to further what we discussed, he's 41 now. I mean, is it getting harder to believe that he's actually going to be a regular player ever again and we might not just see him in flashes?
Oh, no. I mean, I believe it. Here's the thing. So, obviously, today he pulled out of the other two events. He was supposed to play 4 events in 5 weeks. He pulled out of the other two. One of them is at Riviera. That tournament gives money to his own foundation. The other one's in, Palm Beach Gardens in Florida. That's pretty much his hometown. I mean, if he is going to play in any tournaments, it was going to be those two tournaments, and he's not. And I think that just shows that, you know, either he really is struggling. He said his doctor said that he's not allowed to, you know, swing or play right now because of those back spasms. And it's tough because, you know, at the end of the day, you really do want to see it just for the good of the game, to see him out there playing and to get more eyeballs on the game. But unfortunately, he's just not up to that level. And I mean, like I said, these two tournaments mean a lot to him. And if he can't, you know, muster up even 36 holes before getting cut going into these tournaments, I mean, that's not looking good for him long term.
No, I just, some people said he may have done irreparable damage. And, you know, at 41, 15 years younger than me, I can't even go down that road. We continue with Kristen Rogers, KEZI, Super Bowl Sunday. So let's get to the middle of the third quarter. Matty Ryan throws a touchdown pass. It's 28-3. Your chair, did you hang in, think it was over? And what did you make of Brady and the Pats coming back?
Oh, I mean, obviously I watched the entire game. I'm never going to turn off a game midway through. That's not me. I will never do that.
Okay.
I will watch the end. However, unreal. I mean, probably one of the greatest comebacks I've ever seen in a single game. And I get there's been so many different comparisons to the NBA Finals this year, the World Series this year, teams coming back from a 3-1 loss. I really don't want to talk about the NBA Finals and my Warriors have yet. But, you know, you saw a lot of teams come back after multiple games. In a single game, this has to be one of the greatest comebacks we've seen in sports. I mean, to come back from a 25-point deficit in a single game to come back and win, I mean, that's unreal. Like, that was just phenomenal play. And, I mean, a lot of people obviously are starting to say, you know, there was all the debate about whether the Falcons lost it or, you know, New England won it. Like, stop that argument. I hate that argument so much. I hate even that question. I mean, New England just played a phenomenal game down the stretch, and they were just, you know, they were hard to defend. They were hard to stop. And that's why Tom Brady now has one for the thumb.
All right, final thought for Flow Test here. This weekend, I sometimes forget that you know, what else is happening in town outside of Oregon. So for you and the KEZI crew, what do you got up your sleeves?
Yeah, we got a lot of high school ball tonight. It's crazy to think. I was just looking at the 6A schedule. There is only one more Friday night game for 6A teams, like in the regular season. That is crazy to think about. So we're really getting to the end of high school hoops here. Prepping a lot with obviously Oregon and Oregon State women in town this week. Going to be a big week with the LA schools up here. And, you know, just a big recap. I mean, we're already starting to talk track. You know, you got a lot of events going on, you know, indoor track going on. So we have a lot coming to you. But it is weird that this is the first Sunday without NFL. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a fan that it's over. Bring it back.
I don't know if they're going to play a third-place game, but keep up with Kristen Rogers, all she's got going on, at Kristen E. Rogers on Twitter, KEZI, channel 709 in high def, and you can catch up, KEZI.com. Always a pleasure, KR. You have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, Steve. You too.
Take it easy.